So how do you work with the light of your own hearts, with the light of God in the world? Not just as an individual, but also as a group, as a gathering. For example, now in this room there is a light, because we all came together for his sake. And I shared this vision yesterday that showed how in the past gatherings that light has created a very beautiful carpet, a carpet woven from the different tariqas, a carpet made of light and of love. You can make things with light and love, you know. They actually last a bit longer than these carpets here. They're not in the visible world yet. Maybe there will become a time when that dimension will become visible, when the inner and the outer will reflect each other more. Most people, they just feel it. They feel something is present, just as if you go into a holy place, if you go into a meditation center, you feel something. You sense something. It can be a sense of stillness or peace or a quality of love or a sweetness. We had this beautiful story yesterday of the Sufi saint whose body was, after hundreds of years, gave off this fragrance of roses. You sense it. And something is really present. A spiritual gathering is a gathering of light. That is what it is really about. It is a gathering of hearts. That is one of the symbolisms of you take off your shoes at the door. You leave behind your worldly self. And you bring this other part of you to offer it to God. How can you use my light, beloved? How can it be of service to you? How can you use it in your world? So, like many things, the first step is to become aware that you have a light that belongs to God. You can use that light to make millions of dollars if you want. You can use that light to attract other people to you. You can use that light in so many ways. But if you offer it to God, then you become aligned with the real purpose of creation, which is quite different to how it appears. So the first step is to acknowledge that you have a light and to offer it to God. It's a simple step. And to be present in your light. You'd be surprised how many people just give their light away. Want to get rid of it as quickly as possible so they don't have to be responsible for it. But also now to bring into consciousness that there is a light that belongs to the whole. That when there is a gathering like this, there is a light that is present. And this light can be used in the world. You see, but then we think, how do we do it? Where? What effect does it have? Because we're a kind of how-to culture. It doesn't work like that. It works totally upside down. Because it's not about us. And it's not about our vision of the world. How do we even know it is a world that needs to be saved? Maybe it is about his world. Maybe we are part of God revealing His world. That to me makes so much more sense, and it takes out so much the possibility of ego trip. There is an enormous danger of trying to save the world. The ego can step in. But if we give it to God, if we take that one step away from ourselves, then we become in line with what is real. Now, what is very interesting is that we have a higher self that can be instructed by the light how to work with the light for the sake of the whole. We don't have to have reached a state of realization, of constant awareness of the higher self to do this. This is one of the changes in evolution. There was a time that only the masters of love, only the masters of wisdom were allowed to work with the light of the world for the sake of the world. That was their work. A brotherhood of migrants who keep watch on the world and for the world. But times have changed. In each step in evolution, humanity is given more responsibility, more energy, more power, more potential. And the next stage of evolution has to do with light on many, many different levels. On a most basic level, it can be like how to use solar energy instead of polluting the planet. That is on the physical level. You see it in communications with the potential of fiber optic cables. It is very interesting that in the 90s, these enormous amounts of fiber optic cables were laid around the world that nobody is using. It is like that. They don't have the use for them yet. They spend millions, billions of dollars putting these fiber optic cables around the world, which is a way to communicate with light. To bind the world together, to bring it together on the level of communication through light. We haven't yet learned what the potential for that is. And on a spiritual level, it is how do we work with light for the sake of the whole? We have used our own light traditionally for our own individual spiritual purpose, for our own journey back to God. Of course, spiritual masters have used light to reflect light into their disciples, because initially the wayfarer does not have enough light of their own. And so the one who has been made empty, the one who has been trained, reflects light into the heart and into the awareness of the disciple. It's a very simple practice. You can even reflect light into the higher self. And that was used to help the individual go on their way, to help the individual see the path in front of them, and to clear away a little bit of debris to help them. But there is this other way to work with light for the sake of the whole, which I say until recently was only allowed to be done by the masters of wisdom, by the masters of love, who brought light where it was needed in the world. That is why there is this Sufi saying that if one of these masters misses a place of remembrance, misses looking at a certain place in the world where they have to look, then there will be trouble, because that light would not have been reflected there. And that is part of the responsibility of the spiritual brotherhood who look after the world. But now, as we go forward in evolution, knowledge that has been hidden is revealed. And the first step is to acknowledge that there is this dimension of spiritual work. And that is one of the reasons we come together, because such knowledge has to be given openly, has to be shared openly. The time of secret spiritual groups working in isolation, developing their esoteric practices for the sake of the few is over. Knowledge cannot be given like that anymore. That's how it used to be. Given just to very, very few high initiates in the desert, in the mountains, wherever. Now it has to be shared. It has to be shared in the open. Because why? Because it is for the sake of the whole. It is no longer for the sake of the few. Again, why? Because this is an era of oneness. And oneness means coming together on all levels. It means coming together so that there is enough food for everybody, that it goes to everybody on the planet. And there is enough food. And when we come together with the right attitude, the food will go where it needs. And it happens on all levels, because again, it is oneness. We tend to think oneness just on a horizontal level. That oneness means everybody in the world together. It means ecological oneness. But what about the oneness that means all the levels of reality work together? What about that level of oneness? Why is the oneness just on a horizontal level? So just as the food needs to go everywhere on the physical level, the light needs to go everywhere too, where it is needed, much more efficiently. Because you don't, again, have to be clairvoyant to see that in some parts of the world there is more light than in other parts of the world. But how do we use this light? By offering it to God. And when we offer it to God, we offer it to God also to our higher self. Because our higher self is the part of us that is closest to God. The light of our real nature, the real self hidden in the heart. That is what is the real witness. When the Sufis talk about the witness, they are talking about the higher self that watches, that is aware, that is really present. And again, what I was saying was that before, the human being had to be what we call enlightened, which means to have a direct awareness of their higher self in order to consciously participate with their higher self in this work. You had to reach a certain level of initiation to do it. But that time is past. You can participate in this work, and your higher self can participate in the work without you having reached this level of awareness. You just have to say yes. You just have to acknowledge the need and allow yourself to be used. This is again the essence of Sufism, surrender. I do not ask to see, I do not ask to know, I ask only to be used. Because we have free will, and the free will, what is very interesting is the free will that we hold in our ego consciousness affects the way our higher self can work. It is a very strange little thing that this iota of free will controls the higher self in this world. You wouldn't think that this extraordinary body of light, this glorious higher self, that is as vibrant as the sun, maker of past and future, is controlled by the ego. But it is true, because the ego has free will. It is the ego, it is the little self that says yes. For example, for some people, the higher self was already surrendered to God, but do you see it in the human being? No, they are fighting it. So it is like the ego self, this pale imitation of the real self, this shadow of a shadow of a shadow of your real nature, holds the key to to working for God. You see, again, there used to be a time when before you could be involved in that work, the ego self had to be demolished, to die before you die. Until you were dead, you could not work. I meant dead not in a physical sense, but dead in the sense of the ego was demolished, the ego was surrendered. That is a very, very long process. It takes at least 20, 30 years, very, very painful. But it doesn't have to be like that anymore. In order to participate in this spiritual work, the ego does not have to be demolished. The human being just has to say yes, beloved, use me. Say yes with real sincerity, not a little sort of wimpy yes. Not a yes on Mondays and Tuesdays. Not a yes if my boyfriend likes me. Not a yes if the teacher smiles at me. Or if I get a good dream, but a real yes, an unconditional yes. A yes full of passion, a yes full of love. A yes because you really believe. Even if you have doubts, you can still believe. Then you say yes, then the higher self is allowed to participate. It's very simple, like most things. You know this saying, mystics teach simple things, because God is a simple essence. So once you say yes, then the higher self opens. Then the higher self is allowed to participate. And one of the extraordinary qualities about this light is it is encoded with all the information it is needed to how to work with it. Because again, it is about oneness. You don't get the instruction manual separately. You don't get the light and then have to pay $2,000 to go to a long seminar to learn how to work with it. It is free, it is imprinted into the light. The knowledge and the light are one. And this light speaks to the light of the higher self. This is light upon light. And it tells the higher self how to work with it for the sake of the whole. It is very beautiful when you see the higher self awakening to this light of the whole. And beginning to work with the light of the whole, and beginning to relate in the inner world to others who are working with the light of the whole. And remember, in the inner, there are not the divisions of space and time that we are so caught up in. There are not the constrictions. And what is beautiful, and again, how the inner and the outer are mirrored, we can see how this is mirrored in the internet. In the internet, you can be chatting with somebody in Siberia, with somebody in Uzbekistan, with somebody in New York, with somebody down the road. It doesn't matter. Sometimes, I remember my kids were in this AOL chat rooms 10 years ago. You didn't even know who they were talking to, where they were. It was a bit disconcerting. You didn't know if they were in Europe or China or next door or in New Orleans. Because that is the world we have moved into, and the inner and the outer reflect each other. And just as that happens in this outer world in the computers, in the internet, so it happens on the inner planes. Those who are working for the sake of the whole work together, regardless of the physical locality. You see, light. Again, you think of fiber optic cables. One of the potential of fiber optic cables is through light, you can communicate almost instantaneously with very little distortion anywhere in the world. That is the physical truth. Now, with the light of the self, you can communicate anywhere instantaneously with no distortion. That is the truth of the inner world. It is light. And it is light. Not just, oh, a nice light around a human being. I'm sure you've been a few crystals, a nice light. This is light impacted with knowledge, just as the light that goes through the fiber optic cable is impacted with knowledge. But this is knowledge of a higher frequency. This is spiritual instruction. This is how does the world work spiritually as a living organism? And this knowledge is communicated through light and through a participation, through people coming together, through a network of light. And what we are creating in this moment is a hub of light. It will remain after you have all gone. It will be there on the inner planes. And you can access it whenever you are, because you have been present. And it will work as a network of light that is spinning at a certain frequency. And one of the beauties is that once something starts to spin at a certain frequency, it cannot become distorted. It cannot become corrupted, because corruption happens at a lower frequency. This is part of the esoteric science of when you spin the heart of a human being. You spin it at a certain frequency, so it throws off distortions, so it throws off corruption. And it is present. And it is of service to the whole, because that's why we have come together. That was the intention. And a human being's intention is very, very important. If you come to a Sufi Sheikh for the sake of the truth, you will get the truth. That's why my Sheikh said, it is the duty of the teacher to give the disciple what they want. Intention is incredibly important. He would often ask somebody when they first came, why have you come? He knew, because he could read their hearts. He could read their minds. But they needed to make it conscious. So the intention is like the peg of the tent. It is like the axis of intention. And because we have come here for the sake of the beloved, then we can be used for that. Then that vibration of intention goes into this organism of light. And it is of service also to those who do not have direct access to their own light. You see, one of the things is, if your heart has been awakened, you can have access to your own light. If you have had the privilege of finding a spiritual path, a real spiritual path that is a transmission of teaching and energy, you have been given light. You can have access to this light through your practices, through your meditation, through your prayers, through the zikr. You tune into this light, you bring it into your life. You go home nourished by the light. Now, in our culture, we live in a culture that has forgotten this. We live at the end of an incredibly decadent, self-absorbed material culture. And a lot of people do not have access to this light directly. They don't even know it exists on this plane. All they see is the physical world. The only light is the flickering screen of the television. They don't know that real light exists. But sometimes their higher self needs it. They need it to participate, helping life and being of service to the world. And this light that we are working to create can be of service to them. Those who don't have direct access to the light. It can also, because it is a living organism, in service to the whole. And part of a living organism is it goes where it is needed. That is the beauty of a living organism. If you see the light in a human being, and how the light, this is how healers often work, bringing the light where it is needed to help heal a human being, to go to the blockages, to go to the places of density in the human body, and how the light begins to go into the darkness and break up the darkness and go under the blockages, and help to remove the blockages, and bring joy back into the body, and to bring life back into the body so the body starts to sing. And once the body starts to sing, that song of life can heal the body. A lot of healing is done like this. It is very beautiful to see. You're working with the energy structure of the body, not just the symptoms. And the same is true for the world, because a human being is a microcosm of the world. And once we constellate together through our devotion, through coming together, through a gathering like this, once we constellate the light, then it can go where it is needed. We bring it from the inner, not totally into the outer, because at the present time, the outer is still veiled from too much light. Just as it can be a bit damaging for a human being to suddenly to see their real nature of light. It can be very, very disturbing. You can have a breakdown of consciousness because it is so different to how you see yourself. That is why there is a whole tradition of going into spiritual seclusion and going on retreat to be in a safe container to see that. But this light, we are constellating. We are constellating it in service to the whole. And so it can go where it is needed. Either people individually can have access to it, or it can just be called where it is needed. Just like a healer works with a sick body. It's very simple. But remember, because we are the microcosm of the whole, and when we come together like this, aligned to the one, that microcosm of the individual is amplified. Is amplified not just 300 times by the 300 people who are here, but 3,000 times or more than that, because we are aligned with the will of God, because we come here in service to God. Just as when a few people gather together, my Sheikh said, if six people come together and their hearts are burning with longing for God, the energy that is constellated is not just six times of one person. It is 6,000 times of one person, because they are aligned with God. And God is infinite. It's like Mother Teresa said, it's not what you do, but the love you put in the doing, because then you give it to God and He makes it infinite. And a human being aligned with the will of God is incredibly powerful. So friends, it is time to remember in the real sense. To remember that we have a light that belongs to God, that has been given to us in trust. And because we are slaves of the one and servants of the many, we are here to bring this light into life where it is needed. Because life is hungry for the light of what is real. Life itself has become constricted by too many illusions, by too many successful sales campaigns. Life itself has begun to think it is just some materialistic, four-dimensional blob to be exploited. It has forgotten that it is a revelation of God. It has forgotten that it has a song. And it has forgotten that when it starts to sing its song, it will remember what it is. It will start to heal itself. The song of life is so beautiful, just like your own song can heal you. The song of life can heal the planet. It will throw off the debris of the last millennia. It will throw off the patterns of corruption. It will throw off the power dynamics. Just as if when you wake up and it's a beautiful spring morning and something, and you just says, wow, how wonderful. So many things don't matter, because life is celebrating itself inside of you. Life becomes alive, even if just for a moment, and then you go to work and it's kind of forgotten. And what is true of the individual has to be true of the whole. And we have a responsibility to give this ingredient of very, very pure light to the world. It is like a key. It is needed to unlock certain energy centers in the world, just like it is needed to unlock certain energy centers in the human being. The individual human being cannot become spiritually awakened until it is given this light. It is usually reflected from the Sheikh into the disciple. And the same is true of the whole. It needs this light of divine consciousness to be given to life. So life can become awake. So life can remember its real nature. And so life can begin once again to sing. And the song of life is incredibly beautiful. It's an ancient, ancient song. Back from the very beginning, back from the earliest days of creation. And each cycle, it changes, and each cycle, nothing changes.